Welcome back, Yehuda Goldberg. Today I'll be talking about working for the federal government. This is increasingly attractive as people see the vista of potential automation, AI taking jobs. Now, whether it's going to play out to that extreme remains to be seen, but I figured we'd talk some possible pathways, and I'm going to begin with the one I think is most ideal, assuming you are the right age and have the appropriate drive. That is Air Force or Space Force officer. The way to handle this for the vast majority of you, assuming you're not going to a service academy, is choose computers, cyber engineering. You might be able to get away with accounting slash information systems, but they really like the technical degrees, and go to a school that has Air Force ROTC. Don't wait until you graduate to apply. It's much more difficult. During that period, you'll be going through the process, getting acclimated, understanding military way of life. You graduate at 22. Do your 20 years, you're looking at what, 41, 42, retiring, probably as a major, if not lieutenant colonel. Nice pension. You could also get the supplemental disability that is tax-free if you play your cards right. You have the VA health care. And as a single guy, you're good to go. You probably don't have to work again. If you're a family man or you're just greedy, you could go become a contractor, make tons, but you've always got that to fall back on. So this is my best recommendation. Some will say, oh, you could join the reserves before you go to college, but then you might get deployed and it interrupts your college studies. Others say, oh, start enlisted because then you can retire at 38. True. Now, I didn't know a chick actually smashed this one, but she had done, I think, 10 years enlisted, and then she was going to pivot to become an officer. That's a possibility, but of course, what's the likelihood you're going to retire at the same rank after 10 years as an officer? It probably isn't going to happen. So your pension might be smaller. Still decent, but that's something to consider. I would go officer to start. You're going to have a better time. You won't deal with as much of the BS that the enlisted people are subjected to, being treated like a child, whatnot. So I'm just going to recommend that. And the military still has a decent pension, which I can't say about other parts of the federal government. Other people might be interested in the alphabet, chia seeds, FIBI, DEA, or dispatching people who legally own a firearms bureau. With these, they can all be decent careers, and some people say, oh, FIBI's corrupt. Yeah, they got a bad reputation because of the Trump era, but they still do good work. They are putting people in prison who are manifestly corrupt, frankly. Do you think that if the system was completely rigged, would Madoff have gone behind bars? Would a little, what's the puffy-haired kid, FTX, Bankman-Fried, do you think he'd be in prison? So it's not perfect, but there is actually valuable things being done. You would not really want to live in a country like a lot of European countries that are weak on public corruption, certainly third world countries. People get away with stuff they shouldn't. So we are actually, there's a certain advantage to that, even though it's not by any means ideal. But yeah, if you join these organizations, you have to be committed. It's not, oh, I'm just clocking in, clocking out. You're going to probably do a lot of overtime, and it may not be extra pay. It might just be your salary. It depends how you're classified. You'll do cool stuff. You'll see other things people aren't going to come across, but that is going to be your world, not, oh, yeah, now I'm just chilling out to watch Netflix. So my advice would be looking at it that way. In college, you can consider majors like psychology, forensic science, accounting. Some people do accounting and they'll immediately go to law school before they get in because that opens up possibilities as an analyst. But also, if you want to maybe join the U.S. Attorney's Office one day, easy transition. There are actual corporations that have been investigated by U.S. attorneys, and they hire those people because they know more about the system. So it can be very lucrative. You don't necessarily have to stay for the full 3 decades working for that particular organization. In the event you don't want to go the special agent route, there's certainly possibilities with their uniform divisions. These are going to be police departments with chia seeds, FIBI, certainly Uniform Secret Service is another one, Capitol Police. They're not difficult to get into per se, although bear in mind, some of them have mandatory overtime. So once more, if you're, oh, I just want my little paycheck and then I'm going to be playing video games, you might be doing doubles. You might be held over. This is just the nature of the beast. So keep that in mind. Another imperfect, albeit doable path, is to go for some lower level FEMA position or maybe become a TSA officer. With TSA, you get some of the government benefits, probably copious amounts of overtime at most sites. At the same time, it's a little bit of a thankless job, and you do not have the security of regular civil service employees. You can be gotten rid of. That's something that I want to say W. Bush baked into it after 9/11. Now, some people have done it. They've transitioned from that to another role in the federal government. Although I have read online, it's not like, okay, now you're in the door. It isn't forcibly going to be treated in that fashion. But not going to completely dismiss it otherwise, because you could network, meet people. So don't throw it out entirely. And at long last, we have the pathways programs, which are used for those who are trying to enter regular civil service roles. Best way to handle this while you're in college, and you don't have to go to a top-ranked school as long as it's accredited, try to intern where you're looking to work, maybe one or two summers. They do in some cases hire people right out of that program. You also have the recent graduates as an option on USA Jobs. But having the connections, having your foot in the door is going to be helpful. Certainly, if you have military experience, you'll get that veteran's preference. So that can also be advantageous. Even if it's just in the reserve, that would look good, assuming you didn't do the full officer route. Now, what's the downside about, you know, being a regular civil service employee? The pay, depending on where you're working. Now, if you're IT, it's a little bit above average. But if you're going to be doing other jobs, you know, finance, administration, HR, you're going to make less than you would in the private sector typically. And the way they offset that, well, yeah, but you get the benefits, which are good. You get the vacation, more consistent, which is nice. And then you get a pension. But the pensions are not what they used to be. So to give you an idea, under CSRS, which they phased out in the 80s, average benefit was $4,000 a month. Now, they didn't give you Social Security if you were in that program. It was kind of all blended in one. With FIRST, which is a current one, the average is $1,600 monthly pension. Now, you do get Social Security and you have a 457 or 401k. The problem with the 401ks in general is that the assumption is you start out working and you're maxing out. Because if you're going to McKinsey and Company or working on Wall Street, obviously you can do $20,000, $22,000 a year easily because you're making so much money. But regular people, when you have to factor in if there are loans to be repaid, which of course the federal government will sometimes repay your student loans, but other stuff, your car, your rent. When you're in the military, they typically are cutting you a check for where you're working. So even if it's high cost of living area, you don't have to be shelling out all this money monthly in rent. It's being absorbed. In the case of the civil service, that's not typically the case. You're paying out of pocket. So that means a lot less money you're going to have, less available to be maxing out that. So you're probably not going to be able to do much with your 401k until you have ratcheted up to making higher amounts of compensation. There are some variations, like you can do, I think it's just 25 years. If you spend so much time overseas, you might get a little bit more if you have a law enforcement background. Although be mindful of that, not all federal law enforcement positions have that advantage. It depends how it's coded. You can look this up on like LEO forums. They talk about it. I want to say Capitol Police does get the shorter term pension, but then maybe Border Patrol, you have to do 30 years. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that. So these are the options available to you. I'm going to just reiterate, if you can do military officer, that's your best bet. You're going to get a more substantial pension for just 20 years, and then you opens up possibilities of actually retiring early or going to work as a contractor. Whereas if you're trying to do the civil service, it can work out for you, but by the time you retire, it's going to be a small sum. It'll keep you afloat. You could certainly go overseas, but is it worth all that time, or could you do it faster if you're willing to put on a uniform? Which, of course, when it comes to the Air Force, let's be real, most of the jobs are basically like office jobs. So, any questions, just drop them below.